Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. I got my man, Sherrod Blakely, one of the nation's top... You know, I don't even want to call you a beat writer anymore, man. You do TV, you
content
do it...
Generator.
Content generator for NBC Sports in Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, happy Wednesday morning to y'all. It's January the 10th, but right now we're going to sit here and we want to talk to you guys about the Celtics. And... You know, Sherrod has been coming to the league. How many years now, man?
Oh, first year was 2000, so it's been 18 years.
Damn, dude, you was young as hell when you first came up.
Green in so many ways.
So many ways. Now we both are members of the Ballhead Brothers, Ballhead mm-hmm. Nation. But I want to talk to you serious about this game on mm-hmm. Thursday. Now, you know, to me personally, it's a big game for the Sixers. Mm-hmm. I think that... It's nice that they're over here, but I have a little bit of concerns with the distractions that's going to happen when you face a team like Boston.
Yeah.
You know the Celtics through and through, and you know just you know this is a team that has the best record in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. They stumbled a little bit, but it just seems like they regrouped and they're back. You know, playing well, six games in a row.
Yeah. The one thing about the Celtics that you don't have to worry about is distractions, because their season began with, I think, the ultimate distraction, and that is one of your key guys going down with a season-ending type injury. They bounced back from that, and they've been, you know, as you mentioned earlier, they had a little bump in the road there for a little bit. But more than anything else, they understand that when they play as a group, there are very few teams that can beat them. And as the season has progressed, they've gained more and more confidence that they can beat anyone, and particularly the elite teams. You know, they have beaten San Antonio. They've beaten Golden State. They've beaten Cleveland. They've beaten Houston. They've beaten all the top five, top six teams in the NBA at least once. And when you have that kind of track record and you're only at the halfway point of the season, you feel very good about your chances of not just being one of the better teams that year, but one of the last teams standing, which is ultimately what the Celtics want to be.
Now, I know they turned things around early as far as, you know, they started off with, I think it was two straight losses, or was it
yeah,
three?
It was two.
And then they played the Sixers, and they went on that run. But did that take y'all by surprise? I mean, because there was so much emphasis in, you know, in Hayward. And when he went down, I know Tatum has really performed well, but he was a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, he just stepped in and it was like seamless.
Yeah, I mean, it took everyone by surprise, including the Celtics players. I mean, they thought that they could regroup and play well, but no one would have predicted they would run off 16 straight wins. And as you mentioned, Jason Tatum, he has been a big part of this team's success. But what's happened is that they've adopted this next man up mentality. And basically, whenever a guy has gone down, whether it's for a game or two, someone has emerged, whether it's Shane Larkin, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart. You go down the line, they've had guys elevate their games when they absolutely had to have it. And that's, to me, that's the mark of a great team, the ability to have different guys step up and get the job done when required to.
Let me ask you this, though. Now, of course, you know, you talk to some of the guys, and you know they faced the Sixers twice. Mm-hmm. They beat them one by 11 points, the other time by 10 points. The second game, Embiid didn't play.
Right.
I mean, you figured that they would win. But what's the sense of them going into this game? You know, when you have a team that's had success over a squad, mm-hmm. and I know we said there's no distractions, but you have success over a squad, and here they come again.
Well, the one thing the Celtics have done, which to me it's been shocking, is they've had a high level of respect for all their opponents, which, as we know, that's not the way it is. I mean, they look at Golden State the same way they look at Brooklyn. They're going to play hard. They're going to make some mistakes, but their focus is figure out a way to win. And Philadelphia is a unique opponent, because when they look at their season, that first game against Philadelphia was really just the catalyst to their success this season. Because Kyrie Irving, he's talked about it. I don't know how we would have fared if we'd have lost that game, because that would have dropped an 0-3. And just the mindset would have been radically different than it was after winning a road game against a Philadelphia team that everyone, I think, figures is going to be much better than they've been in the past. So getting that win, respecting your opponents, knowing that Joel Embiid is just an absolute beast that you're just not going to shut down. You're just trying to limit his impact. They're not going to look over the Sixers by no stretch of imagination.
Okay, and Marcus Morris. Here's a guy who been injured early
love
on.
Love him.
Love him.
I'm a huge Marcus Morris fan. I am huge. And actually, I had a chance to talk to him. And good news for the Celtics, maybe not for Philly, Marcus is going to play Thursday without any minutes restrictions.
Okay.
And so that's a big, big deal for him. Him and I, we've had conversations. Won't get into specifics of the conversations, but let's just say he's excited about the chance to be out there and not have to be looking at his watch, wondering, you know, when am I going to get yanked because of my minutes play. I think he's going to be, if he's healthy, the Celtics are a legitimate NBA Finals contender because he gives them that big three / power forward, small ball type power forward that can score, can rebound, defend. And it's particularly, when I talk about defense, I'm thinking specifically about LeBron James, a guy that he does as good a job as anyone defending him. And so when you have a guy that has that type of skill set, that kind of impact, and he's healthy, that's huge.
Yeah, you know what I like about him? He's a guy who's in his sixth season, but he still seems like he still plays with a chip. You know what I mean? It's like he didn't get comfortable. Now, again, I know this is, what, his fourth team? Mm-hmm. So you may say he, you know, you can see why, but some guys tend to get comfortable after they make money.
Yeah, and there's nothing comfortable about Marcus Morris. And I think he takes that mentality onto the floor by making his opponents uncomfortable. He's a gritty player. He's a gritty, grimy, physical defender, versatile. He is a guy that the Celtics, when they made the trade with Detroit to get him, everyone talked a lot about just what he'd bring from a defensive standpoint, but he really has shown the ability to be an all-around talent that the Celtics really need if going forward.
You think this game's going to be exciting, man?
I hope so. I think it will be. I mean, I think, you know, you got a lot of guys who are, you know, Al Horford is expected to play. He missed the last game with like a calf, knee type deal. He should play. Marcus Morris, no restrictions. And all we need is Joel Embiid to show up. And the thing about Joel, it's not a question of whether he's going to play well. It's a question of whether he plays. Because when he does play, he plays well. So. If he's on the floor, it's going to be a really exciting game.
You know, he's going to play. I mean, just the fact that if you know anything about Joel, he loves money games. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he takes games off, but he makes if he's injured or not, he's going to make a point to play on that day.
We had a guy like that in Boston by the name of Rajon Rondo, who was a different kind of player when it was a nationally televised game versus regular season game. Mm-hmm. Triple-double Rondo showed up for the nationally televised game. Double-double... maybe for regular season. So I get that.
It's going to be a great one. And as far as I said about distractions, I just know that when you have a young team, and I'm not knocking the Sixers, but when you have a young team and then you're playing a squad like Boston and you have so much media availability, you're going across the pond, so to speak, that sometimes, you know, that can catch up to you against a quality opponent. Sometimes, it catches up to against, you know, less than quality opponents too, but I'm still expecting to see a good game.
They need to adopt the public enemy mentality. Don't believe the hype. Yeah. I mean, all that interview stuff, that's not going to get you a win. That's not going to make plays for you. And that's one of the things the Celtics, their media attention has increased. But Jason Tatum is the same old, you know, kid who, you know, he's looking around here in London, you know, thinking about, when am I going to get my mama as a gift? He's not thinking about, oh, my God, I got all this pressure. So
I got you. I like that. Don't believe the hype. Well, hey, look, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank my man, Sherrod Blakely. Like I said, one of the best in the business. Man, 18 years. That's a long time, bro.
Grinding,
a long time.
Grinding.
Dang, 18 years.
Yeah, I was like two when I started.
I know, right? I was about to say one and a half. But, hey, thanks for joining, man. And I always love you. Peace.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.